the deer and the antelope play. Hello, dear friends. This is John Charles Thomas. Well, here we are again with another half hour of song, story, and music for you men and women in the armed forces of the United Nations. For story, we have John Nesbitt, one of America's best. For music, there's Victor Young and the orchestra. And for song, the Ken Darby Chorus and myself. And now, Vic, with the preliminaries over, let's get started. I'm going to sing about a gentleman who also was quite a performer at the festive board. His name, Gypsy John.
The gypsy fires are burning, the kettle sings a song, and good folks want their lining that are empty all day long. Then welcome if you've lost your way, for daylight's past and gone, and strangers might do worse than stay and house with Gypsy John. There's fowl of many a feather, a turkey poult and a hen, a moorcock off the heather, a mallard from the fen, a leash of teal, a thumping goose, as heavy as a swan. He ought to wear his waistcoat loose, who dines with Gypsy John. So dip your fingers in the stew and drink a cup to me. I'll fill again and drink to you, a healthy Normandy. So dip your fingers in the stew and drink a cup to me. I'll fill again and drink to you, a healthy Normandy. And when your brains are turning and you're only fit for bed, the lamps in heaven are burning to light you over the head. Till waking up refreshed and bright, when stars are pale and wan, you'll swear they pass a cozy night, who lodge with Gypsy John. The birds of air shall call you, they are stirring with the day. No mischief shall befall you till we've set you on your way. And when you've left the wanderer's camp to travel blithely on, be kind to some poor tinker tramp and think of Gypsy John. So dip your fingers in the stew and drink a cup to me. I'll feel again and drink to you, a healthy Normandy. So dip your fingers in the stew and drink a cup to me. I'll feel again and drink to you, a healthy Normandy.
Every show or picture score, Cole Porter writes, there's always one slow, smooth, haunting ballad. Victor Young has made a very interesting arrangement of the song that filled that niche in the show Mexican Hayride, I Love You.
Delightfully done, Victor. Which brings us to my memory song for today. Sing Me to Sleep.
Sing me to sleep, the shadows fall. Let me forget the world and all. Tired is my heart, the day is long. Would it were come to even song. Sing me to sleep, your hand in mine, our fingers as in prayer entwined. On me your voice, love, let me hear. Singing to tell me you are near. Love, I am lonely, years are so long. I want you, only you and your song. Dark is life, sure love, night is so deep. Leave me no more, love. Sing me to sleep. Sing me to sleep, love. Alone, seem to be left me for mine own. Haply my heart will know no pain when I awake from sleep again. Sing me to sleep and let me rest. Of all the world, I love you best. Nothing is faithful, nothing true in heaven or earth, but God and your love. I am lonely, years are so long. I want you, only you and your song. Dark is life, so long. Night is so deep. Lead me no more, love. Sing me to thank you.
when you're smiling, smiling, and the love light's in your eyes. Wedding bells will soon be ringing, ringing, ringing love for you and me. Very dear, never fear, we'll be happy, wait and see. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding. Wedding bells will soon ring out with love and joy for you and me. Merry dear, never fear, we'll be happy, wait and sing, dong, sing, dong, ding. Everybody's been knowing to a wedding they're going, and for weeks they've been sewing every Susie and Sam.
They're congregating for me and my gal. The parson's
John Nesbitt. Here is a remarkable chapter in the tremendous story of a great tragedy. It is a true report, and I call it the abandoned tunnel. Maybe you'll call it a crazy, harebrained idea at first, along with several million other people who have been razzing it for almost 150 years. And yet it's a simple notion. You bore a hole through the earth beneath the narrowest part of the Atlantic Ocean that separates England and France, a tunnel below the English Channel. With this tube connecting the two nations, you could leave England by train and 20 minutes later step out in France, just about the length of time that takes a New Yorker to ride in the subway between Radio City and Wall Street. 6,000 soldiers an hour could be poured through this tunnel in case France were attacked again by an enemy in Europe. And if the English armies were beaten as they were in 1941, there would be no Dunkirk. They could escape through this great tunnel in perfect safety and ease. And so could a whole French army to build up strength on the fortress of England. And now let's see just how wild an idea this one is about an undersea tunnel between Europe and the British Isles. In 1802, a great French engineer submitted the plan to Napoleon. And Napoleon, who wasn't afraid of imagination, thought it was a wonderful thing. He excitedly told the English ambassador about it. But a year or two later, the two nations began to quarrel and the wars put an end to the whole dream. And then years later, over in France, a scientist named de Gamont now spent his entire fortune and all of his life in trying to persuade somebody to try it out. And in 1872, it was this man who founded the Channel Tunnel Company, which is still in existence today. Both the English and the French governments passed on it at last, and the actual work was begun. If you should ever visit England, you can go to the Shakespeare Cliffs near Folkestone and see two enormous 400-foot deep pits sunk down into the chalkstone. From the bottom of these pits run stone galleries for over a mile.
And yet 2 years after that work started, it was stopped because the opposition then said that too much water would seep through. And yet not long ago, a party of explorers went down into the stone caves and they found the old machinery, which has lain there for 50 years, perfectly dry and still in good condition. What happened that time to destroy the dream was that General Woolsey, who was then the chief of the British General Staff, said in an official blue book that an enemy army could invade England without declaration of war, disguised as tourists on the train. The enemy would land near Folkestone, capture the British end of the tunnel, and use it to land the rest of their armies. He didn't bother to figure what British intelligence would be doing or how easily they could blow up the tunnel, and yet all that remains today of that mighty dream are the deep pits at each side of the channel and a fortune of abandoned machinery down in the stone chambers that were to be the beginning. When the Nazis struck this time and France writhed to its death and the channel flamed with the wreckage of ships trying desperately to get back across the water, then thousands upon thousands of French and British people cried out, "Why didn't you give us the tunnel? What, after all, was wrong with it?" And the answer is nothing at all. The Simplon Tunnel in the Alps is 12 miles long. The tunnel beneath the channel would only have to be 30 miles long, including its approaches. It would not be half as hard to build today as was the Panama Canal, and in many ways would be no greater an engineering feat than Boulder Dam or the San Francisco Bay Bridge. It would cost between $60 and $100 million. Winston Churchill stormed and begged and prayed for the tunnel before the war, but he was turned down. And had it been in operation when Germany struck, its entire cost could have been met in just 10 days of the expense of operating this war against Hitler. Why wasn't it there? It was not there because imagination had lost the battle against fear of change. And once upon a time, there was an abandoned tunnel in America, too. Or rather, there were 7 of them. Happily, no longer abandoned, and thereby hangs another tale. Many years ago, a company started to build a new railroad from the east to Pittsburgh, a shorter, quicker railroad that would bore through the mountains instead of climbing over them. So 7 tunnels were bored, but so expensively that there was no money left to complete the railroad, and the whole project was dropped and forgotten by all except a few dreamers. And then came the automobile, and they said, why not an express highway to the seaboard? The tunnels through the mountains are still there. And today, day and night, a constant stream of war goods is flowing from the city of steel to the eastern ports. Those tunnels, which were once written off and abandoned, for years now have become a vital link in America's wartime transportation. And this is also an example of a tremendous power we have. A power that is given to us when the practical man and the far-seeking dreamer of imagination learn to work together at last. And if this team should ever stop its work, it happens to be an unquestioned fact that our whole blossoming civilization would rot away and die out of the passing parade forever.
Thank you, John Nesbitt.
Thank you.
There's a lovely old Dutch hymn called Prayer of Thanksgiving. Here it is.
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to make known. The wicked oppressing, cease them from distressing. Sing praises to his name, he forgets not.
Dear friends, we have sung our last song until our next visit with you 1 week from now. Speaking for Vic and Ken and the boys, I say we have enjoyed being with you. And so until next week at this same time, this is John Charles Thomas saying goodbye and God bless.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.